Okay, let's pray. Father, we ask that you grant to us, as we have prayed, wisdom in your word, that everyone should behold Christ, the healer, our health, and your power in our bodies. To grant us healing as we walk in this earth, and to grant perfection and power to the mortality in our physical bodies as we walk in divine healing and health in our lives. In the name of Jesus, amen. Exodus 15:26, praise God. So I'll be rounding off this teaching today, and next week we'll be looking at something different, a little bit more practical as well, that many of us need to realize that you learn the Word of God through practice. Is that okay? Act upon it. Exodus 15:26 says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. We found out that word is the word in the Hebrew, Rapha, or, you know, where we have a doctor. I am your physician. I am the one who takes care of you. And we found out that word is not just about healing you when you're sick. It's also to prevent you from falling ill. In fact, that word is more of a preventive word, because it said, I will not allow, all right, the diseases that came upon the Egyptians to come upon you. So that word is more of the preventive. That is, it prevents sickness and disease in your mortal body. So we also saw that based on that, Jesus ministered healing a lot. He ministered healing so much that when Peter was going to analyze the entire ministry of Jesus, in Acts 10, when he was in the house of Cornelius, he said, you know, the word that was published throughout Judea and all Jerusalem and all coast. He said, how God, beginning at baptism of John, then he says, how God, verse 38, Acts 10, anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost. And then he says, he with power went about doing good, Acts 10, 38, and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So we can summarize the ministry of Jesus and call it a healing ministry, because that's exactly what it was. Jesus was a healing minister. Hallelujah. You cannot take away healing from his ministry. In fact, if he came on the scene and he didn't heal the sick, we'll doubt his deity. Because God addressed himself as a physician. Physician simply means, I am a doctor. That's what it means. Quickly at Matthew 8. Something very, very unique about the healing ministry of Jesus. Definitely the healing ministry generally. In Matthew 8, you know, there were three things that happened in Matthew 8. Individual cases. The first individual case was a leper. Leper came to Jesus, or the other way around, and then Jesus healed him. Then the centurion, you say that from verse 1 to verse 4. Then the centurion from verse 5, then to verse 13, when Jesus said, go thy way, as thou hast believed, be it done unto you. Matthew 8:13. Notice that. As you have believed, be it unto you. And we found out that God is not a magician. He doesn't display things for you to just see. He actually responds, as it were, to people's faith. So he says, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it unto you. So the third instance was, now he goes into the house of Peter. Now look at that, those things. Individual cases, they just were, you know, one after the other, you know, and then he goes to the house of Peter and he meets the mother-in-law. So it just shows you nothing wrong with your mother-in-law sitting in your house. It's in the Bible. Amen. Praise God. Some guys hold on to that. He saw his wife's mother laid and sick with a fever. And then he touched her hand and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto him. That means she was strong. She went and ministered to me. She served him. And so the next verse says that, and when the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. Why did they bring people to him? Obviously, they must have heard about the three incidences. First, the leper. Secondly, then you find the centurion, and then Peter's mother. In Matthew 4, from verse 23-24, the Bible says he had gone around healing the sick. So, as people heard that, they brought the sick to him. Hallelujah. So, they brought the sick to him. Don't forget, the first thing he did was that he went round. That was the first thing he did. He didn't first wait for the sick to come to him. He first went round. See, if he hadn't healed the sick before, the centurion would not have brought the healing case to him. See, the centurion heard something, and so based on what he had heard and seen, then he brought the case of his own servant. See, so it goes two ways. Jesus, first of all, went out. So he went out, then he healed the sick. Now when he went out and healed the sick, then the sick started coming to him. Now you see the relevance of that in a moment. So he goes out, first of all, to heal the sick. Then, in fact, in Luke's Gospel chapter 4, he announces that he's anointed. He goes out. Why did he do that? Because Peter is telling us that everywhere he went to preach, everywhere he goes to teach. Now, I've told you this before. Everywhere he went to preach, what was Jesus' message? Was it his death, burial, and resurrection? No. His message was, I am anointed. Right? He was preaching Isaiah 61, verse 1 to 3. Now, that he was preaching that was a major thing he was saying. And so you find out that a whole lot of, somebody, one time I was sitting with someone and we were looking at someone in a healing service. And so the man was talking about his testimonies and then how the Lord appeared to him in a vision. The guy said, why does he have to say that? So that's exactly how people are going to get healed. That's why you find a whole lot of healing ministers, we share a lot of testimonies. You see that soon. That's how people are going to get healed. So as they heard, okay, they took the sick to him. Praise God. Do you understand that? So Jesus' message was, I'm anointed. Don't go to people's places to minister to them and say, well, I can't do anything, only God can do something. Then why did you come? They'll say, well, my hands are empty. Don't say stuff like that. Praise God. Don't say stuff like that. My hands are empty. If Peter, for example, if Peter said that oftentimes and says, I'm nothing, there's nothing around me, I'm not special, there's nothing, then people would not be looking at his shadows. Praise God. Get that? So Jesus went around and he was preaching the gospel of the kingdom. You know, the gospel of the kingdom was how God anointed him. He wasn't preaching his death, burial, and resurrection. Praise God. Say, praise the Lord. So you find out that he first went out, then people saw it, then people brought the sick the more. Praise God. Hallelujah. He first went out. Now, I saw a brother share a testimony of how he got an handkerchief from a cross of a service. That's what the brother said, but that's not what we do. End of the year service. We ain't crossing over. We're not Egyptians, neither are we Jews. So, then the brother took the handkerchief, and then he said that he and his fellowship, that he's not a member of this church. So he said he took the handkerchief of somebody who's been unconscious for several days, and then they took the handkerchief to the person got healed immediately. Now, someone else now heard that, and then contacted me on Facebook. I was not even in the country. So he had dropped the mail in my box. Obviously, when he was asleep, I was awake. So I saw it. Then I said, all I said was, I agree with you. That was all I said. But let me quote the statement. I believe that my sister will be healed. So maybe I was dozing. Maybe I wasn't too conscious. I just said, I agree. I didn't say more than that. Okay? So, he reported back on Monday, and he said that the sister was scheduled for an operation. So, they had a pre-operation, you know, and then they found out that the growth was not there
again. Now, notice the point. The point was that he read something. And because he read something, he believed that if I can go to the same person, you know, so you see, he doesn't have to be a Christian. I shared a story with you. 1998. A woman, I don't know whether she's born again now because I didn't find out. She's an Elijah because she said so on the pulpit. So she took her daughter to the meeting. And then I said, lay your hands on whoever you brought that you see. And daughter got healed. She was paralyzed. Got healed. And then she got so excited that she gave me a land document. She said, you take all the land. I bought this land and so on and so forth. He's now worth so and so millions and all that and all that. And that. Of course, I didn't want to say no there. Okay, now, I said, the land is not mine now. And I didn't sell it. So I just gave it back. And I said, no. Not wrong in a person giving back when you've ministered to them. But see, when you say, before I minister, if you want this anointing, you sow a seed for a tree. That means you are extorting money. But if people communicate, you know, good things because you bless them, that's scripture. Okay? That one, you're not selling the blessings of God. Right? They are just responding in honor. Is that clear? You know, but I didn't take that because number one, she's not a Christian. Okay? So I felt, I remember sharing this story somewhere and someone said, but it doesn't matter, the wealth of the Gentiles belongs to the Jews. So the Gentiles go to hell, the wealth stays with you. Aren't you silly? Praise God. So I didn't take it that day. And remember, you know, young boys, so let me go into that because I'll divert my message. But you see, the fact that the person just read it, that's all. So there's something about what people hear. And that's why, you know, I for example, and this is my point, and I've said it to you, I know that one of the men that have the gifts of healing in Nigeria is a man that somehow, some folks just went to town and said stuff about him. You see, that's enough to make people die. Because rather than them having faith in his healing ministry, you get it? Then I have to believe something about him. And that could cost people their lives. And that's why we have to be careful things we say about those that God has put his spirit on, in that context, you know what I mean, to minister. And you'll find out that, you know, people just got, and I was talking to another minister, he said that somehow in the minds of people, they have been blackmailed about that person. They have been blackmailed about the person. I had to go around some years back, about 15, 16 years ago thereabout. And I had to go around and I told folks, well, that fellow, when I said this in the meeting, somewhere, I just, we had this faith seminar, and we had this miracle, signs, wonders, and someone's, you know, limbs grew out, and another person got healed. People got healed, you know, differently. Some had incurable disease were healed. So I said this, and someone got scared. I said, if that man is called of the devil, I'm called of the devil too. You know, you're already healed. You get it? So I said that so that they can receive. See, because the minute you cannot hear something else, it can cost you your life. Get my point? Now, I'm not saying people don't have personal, things in their walk of faith, but you see, really, that's not your business. The woman with the issue of blood, I'm going to go to that in a moment. She didn't hear all the other gist. She's too sick to hear gist. You get my point? You know, but some guys are sick and they're sick too. You know what I mean? So sometimes it's good to. So that means they heard the right thing about Jesus. And they bought the sick. You know, they weren't concerned about whether he was going to die for sins. In fact, it's likely they didn't want him to die for anybody's sins. But what they heard was good enough for them to be. And I said that, you know, that I said, the man has gifts of healing. So I was with a preacher earlier today, and then he said, well, there is a way. This is what he said. He says, this is a way he ministers that looks like somehow like cult. I laughed. I said, like, what? And he told me. I said, well, I ministered that way in the 90s. Okay? Now, he couldn't call me of the devil because he knows me. So I said, come, let me show you something. So I showed him something, a video of people who ministered healing in the voice of healing revival in 1947. And I showed the same way they ministered. He said, ah. He said, one has to be careful. I said, ah, you have to be. Praise God. You know, some of us have been around a few days. Nothing really moves us anymore. Hallelujah. You get it? A few days, I mean. And some of you say, well, I've been around for a few seconds. I get that. Alright, so, so really, you see, they must have been hearing something. It looks gospelified. Why would people just come around you? You know, nobody, I mean, let me ask you. You know, I know you're a man of God. So I'm not trying to denigrate your calling, but I'm thinking like this. I don't think anybody hugs you on the road to get healed. I mean, nobody can just jump at you and, you know, nobody hugs anybody and say, you hold me, I want to be healed. They must have touched his clothes because they heard something. Isn't that true? Because they heard something. Hallelujah. Yeah, I was, one time, I was coming from Shagam. I was going to Shagamu, sorry, Shagamu, not Shagam. And I was coming to Lagos. And then I met someone at the bus parking. This is 2002 or 2003. I'm my brother Hagin. So he says, hey, he was with a sister and he was like, is that you? I said, you know, sometimes I get really embarrassed. And I say, yeah. He said, and this is how he said it. He said, sir, did you sit on this chair? And I said, yes. So he just sat there. That's not fanaticism, that's faith. He just believes that if he sits where I sit, something will happen. Maybe you get healed. He said, oh, no. I don't worship. What about touching someone's clothes? What about having someone's saliva in your body? Jesus, you know. And I don't think that's, I'm not sure whether Jesus' mouth smells nice. You know, two times Jesus spat, and that guy is too blind to know what he did. Hope you got that. There you go. Nah, guy just saw. You get it? One time he just breathed on, folks. I don't think you need to be healed. You know, you ask whether he uses Pepsodent. Yeah. You know Pepsodent? You know, or McLean's. He just needed to be healed. But some guys would be like, that's not too distant. Oh, that's why you're sick. Still out there? So, they must have heard the right things. Okay? Luke 5. They heard the right things. And so, look at this. Verse 15. So, as much as the, Luke 5. So, as much as the more went there, a fame abroad about it. Notice the first thing they have. Luke 5. Look at the first thing. The great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed of him of the infirmities. Look at the first thing. What was the first thing that happened in verse 15? So much more went abroad. A fame abroad. That means people heard. Now, did they hear about him that he had? Did they hear about, was it about his marriage? I don't think so. Or about the kind of house he lived? I think they must have heard. Because if they heard about his marriage, they would have come for something else. They must have heard about something. What was it? About healing? So they came, multitudes, to be healed. So they heard something. Feel that? They heard something. Luke 6. So that means what people hear is important. Luke 6. Luke 6. Look at it again. One more. Luke 6. Let me read another one for you. Verse 17.
which came to hear him and be healed of their diseases. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. So some folks first of all came and they were healed. Then 19, read 19 together, 19. And the whole multitude, what? Sought to touch him. Look at where he started. They didn't first want to touch him. They wanted him to touch them. But when the fame went abroad, they now wanted to just touch him. So they heard something, they saw something. You see that? Verse 19. So what you hear is important. What did I say? Watch it. That's why any message that does that plays down on divine healing, don't even listen to it. Don't try and analyze it. Just throw it away. Because you'll need healing one day, or somebody you know will need healing. Isn't that true? Praise God. I've been sick before. And I've been pronounced 6 months delayed. And I remember how tears in my eyes spoke by faith. I'm not going to die in a year's time. I'm not going to die in 5 years' time. I'm not going to die in 10 years' time. I'm not going to die in 15 years' time. Woo! I kept saying it. Okay, I'm not going to die in 20 years' time. I'm not going to die in 25 years' time. That'll be next year. I'm not going to die in 30 years' time. I'm not going to die. You see, that's all. Because I didn't even know what high oh my meant. No high oh my. I didn't know Rapha. I didn't know redemption. Who redemption? Who's that? I knew about Jesus dying for my sin, but I didn't know. I just said, I'm not going to die. Woo! I'm still here 24 years after. Glory to God. So sometimes it's what you hear. What did you hear? Come to that in a moment. I said that ahead of time. I don't know why I said that so quickly. Woo! Not saying that. You know, not to say I'm not going to die. Glory. That's the spirit of faith. Amen. I'm not going down. Woo! Spirit of faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. My five. Thank you, Lord. Spirit of faith. Spirit of faith dares impossibility. Alright. Mark 5. Watch this. Look at the woman with issue of blood. The Bible says she heard of Jesus. That's what she did. Verse 27. She heard of Jesus. And then she decided what she was going to do. Now let me ask you, what did she hear? Our God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. I told you, the first thing you do to miracles is not to analyze them. First of all, believe. She didn't say, You know, some folks just have a very critical mind. So critical. How can someone who just got healed be jumping like this? Idiot, it's a miracle. It's not, it wasn't processed. It's a miracle. What about talking to God and say, well, let there be light, and there was light. Okay, well, who put the light on? Go find out. That's why there's a quote from is it an intelligent design ID or a big bang or evolution? That's why both Christian scientists and stupid scientists or atheist scientists, they're still arguing how the world started. The point is, it's a miracle. We should explain those things from the Bible. Don't be daft.
That's been that. How do you explain God? Help me out. God is a being. Excuse me? You get it?
By faith, we understand.
Hallelujah. By the time you step out of faith, you're now in unbelief. By faith, we understand.
God was telling me one time, the guy, he was a Christian minister here in Nigeria, got to UK and became an atheist. So I don't question the time of salvation. Leave that for some other time. So he said to me, I'm not an atheist like that. I just want to ask questions. So he's trying to argue against the supernatural. I said, I don't have any questions. I don't have anything to debate with you. I know you. Known you for several years now, 21 years. Okay, that was last year, so 20 years. So I said, you know what? You don't believe in the supernatural. Can you come over to Nigeria? So next time you're around, I'll take you to some villages. You know, I'm a proper Ijebu man. I said, no, you just bring all your equipment. And I'll hold the name of you. I'll keep the name of Jesus somewhere and allow you to use your equipment first. So when they finish you, I'll use the name of Jesus on your behalf. No explanation. You get it? By faith we understand. Praise God. Exactly. So you know, when you see a miracle, the first thing is not to say, there's somewhere in your mind, particularly those of you who are very inquisitive, you like to read, you like to I remember one time I was and this is very funny. My mom came home, and so she was talking about a woman who had no womb. And they told her she can't have kids. And then she said, miraculously, she had a child. And someone just said, how is that possible? And I looked at him. Said, I wanted to ask, how do you ask that kind of question? She started with, a miracle happened. That's the first thing she said. She didn't say there was a surgery. I thought that was smart enough. When I was growing up, I'm still growing. Many people around me were doctors, and you could smell unbelief in the way they reason. That's why many of them hardly have a healing ministry. You know, someone say, well, is the person healed? It's getting better. That's the way they talk. I noticed that the scoliosis has reduced. They know the name of all those demons better than you do. I love doctors. I love them. Praise God. But the person, when you hear about a miracle, the first thing that you do is to believe. Hallelujah. Still believe. Praise God. First thing is to believe. I believe in miracles. Amen. So she heard of Jesus. She didn't say, is that so? She went for his clothes. But that's important. Look at something. Look at how healing works. Did you notice that healing is such that it seemed to be, or it seems to be, that healing is available to everybody, believer or unbeliever? How do you know? Jesus, in Matthew 10, sent out his disciples to go heal the sick. He just said, the sick. Cleanse the leper. He didn't say, heal the believing sick. You know, he didn't say, heal those who have exercised their faith to the point where the pistis has become a pistos and then it becomes a pistula. Oh, I'm right. Come on. He just said, heal the sick. Who is the sick? Anybody who is sick. You know, he's like, heal the sick. Same thing in Luke 9 and 10.
when he sent us out, remember, in Matthew 10, then Luke 6, Mark 6, he says, he healed all. In Mark 16:15, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes shall be condemned. These signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They'll cast out demons. They lay hands on the sick. Just the sick. He didn't specify whether it's in church or in the mosque. The sick. So, healing is available. That way. Heal the sick. So, what happens when healing is available? Faith becomes the response to the healing power. Faith becomes the response to the healing power. People respond by faith. They believe, and then they receive. That's why Jesus was to say, except if you have faith as a mustard seed faith, a mustard seed, as a grain of a mustard seed, pardon me, Matthew 17:20. Why did he say that? It means, Just believe. That is, just believe. It need not be, you need not generate great faith at all. If you just believe. And then you say, praise God. If you just believe. So say, just believe. In Mark 5:36, what did he say to Jairus? Did I share with you the last time I shared this? That he made sure Jairus heard the woman with issue of blood. I don't remember that. He made sure he heard her. It was important Jairus heard her testimony. So, when Jesus said, Jairus believed, that's because Jairus had heard something. What did Jairus hear? What the woman with the issue of blood did. Was born. Okay? Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Someone was telling me about a nervous condition that he had. And I said, you know what? He said, I'm going to give you a testimony. Someone shared. I said, make sure you listen to that testimony alone. A whole day. No Telemundo? No. No. Don't even try and watch Arsenal Barcelona. It'll make you fall sick. So, whatever you like, say. So, just listen. It's not about hearing the right thing. Not that you're not going Yahoo Medicine, Yahoo Health. Pain on the right side of your body. Possible conditions. Hey! Oh, I thought I'm talking to someone. Say, you hear this? Jairus? Did you hear what happened? Yeah, no. Only believe. Hallelujah. You still there? Praise God. Amen. How are we going to survive? The economy is so bad. This time Nigeria will survive 1986. Nigeria will survive. Every people, how do you know, check out? Say what? As well, I'm mounting the person that sang it made money. Isn't that very interesting? No, it's true. Nigeria goes, she just made money off your lamentation. So she survived. Isn't that true? Amen. We have a finance seminar later in the year. Amen. Praise God. You hear what I said? Okay, now. So that means that if Jesus could say in verse 36, be not afraid, only believe, that means you cannot be afraid and believe. You can't be afraid and believe. It's either you believe and you are not afraid, or you are afraid and you don't believe. James, James says, if any of you lack wisdom, James 1:5, let him ask of God, who gives unto all men liberally and upbraids not. So he let him ask in faith. Let him ask in faith. Nothing wavering, for he that wavers, alright, shall be like the wave of the sea tossed. Alright? That is, double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let not such a man think he shall receive anything. Now, he didn't say, let not such a man think he'll receive wisdom. He said, anything. So that's faith. He's teaching faith. Let not such a man think he'll receive anything. Don't say, if God sees how hopeless and helpless I am, he will help me. Sorry, you remain hopeless and helpless. Praise God. Who has the final say? Jehovah. Dance all you like. He doesn't have the final say. You have the final say. Praise God. I don't believe the gospel, but Jehovah. You're going to hell, bro. All those songs just make us feel, say, he's in control. He's in control. He's in full control. They are songs of unbelief. How is he in control? Did he even make you sing the song? Did you choose the song? Praise the Lord. Jesus said, whosoever, I love that thing. I love that phrase in the Bible. When I get that stuff, whosoever, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, my God, whosoever shall say unto this man, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things you see shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he say. Praise God. Praise God. My dad told me one time. He said, why can't you walk in my block factory? Told me that. He said, you don't want to walk? He said, how do you know that this is not where you will walk eventually? That's what he said. My dad, he said it angrily. And I said, I will walk here. I was in my first year in university. That if I checked my pocket, that day had nothing in there. I said, I'm going to buy it. He laughed. He walked away. I paid him money for it. Years later, I bought it. It happened the next year. It happened 2 years' time. It happened 5 years' time. But it came to pass. Amen. Now I reminded him. He had forgotten, but I didn't. I have what I say. Shall have whatever you say. Praise God. This is Jehovah shall have whatever he says. So you will have what you say. Amen. Hallelujah. Who are the final say? It's just a song of defeat. When you have lost a match, you say where? Yeah. The spirit of faith says, I have what I say. The Bible says, I have believed, and so have I spoken. Praise God. Don't talk like a Muslim. Submission to the perfect will of Almighty Allah. You are in Christ, they are in Allah. Alright, come on, let's go. So, Jesus spoke about fear. That means I can be afraid and be in faith. So, let's talk about fear a little bit. Amen. You can be in faith and be afraid. In Matthew 14, two times. In Matthew 14, remember Peter? Remember I saw that last time? Peter looked at the boisterous wind. Where did the faith come from? Peter looked, I thought I could have teaching one. No, there's something else I thought way before that. Something about fear. I'll locate fear. What's it called? What to do when fear comes. Is that title? Okay, that's a while back.
some 16 years back, 15. What to do when fear comes? So you can know where fear came from. No, you can know where fear came from. Fear is not a supernatural imposition by spiritual forces upon your spiritual mind. No. That looks like an utterance, right? Fear came from something you heard or something you saw. Now let me ask you. For example, when somebody hears, that fellow has cancer, and goes, ah! Why? You know, if you had heard that anybody, if you had read somewhere, for example, whether you were maybe misled, you read, when somebody has cancer in his body, it means that the person will live 60 more years. You say, that guy has cancer, wow! And he's already 40, you'll be 100, because of what you heard. Or you hear, that guy down cancer, what guy? Yeah, you know, like believers, you know, there's a way we talk fear. We talk doubt. It's well known. You get it? It's not like you believe God. It's just like, it's well. It's like, oh, are you? You know, it is well. Have you ever heard anybody say, it is well? No, it is well. It's actually like a commiseration. It is where. Praise God. Brother Higgins told the story about how he brought a Methodist preacher to his room on the deathbed. Methodist preacher looked at him and said, sorry boy, soon be over. Soon be over. The Lord, you know, sort it out. So, soon be over. So, the man went to the other room to say, what is the best song? What songs would he like on his funeral? So he said, he rose up in his spirit. He said, I'm not going to die. Hallelujah. I'm not going to die. Glory to God. So you hear something. Peter saw the wind. Now, why would Peter be afraid because he saw the wind? Because he's a fisherman. He must have had the experience that the winds upturn ships and they make people, you know, they can carry folks away and the wind's strong enough. And so he goes, so all the information he has about the wind comes to his mind. Then he goes, why is he afraid? I'm going to die. The wind didn't see anything. Satan doesn't have to say much. He just drops a thought and he walks away. The enemy soul stares and he goes, deal with it. He saw the wind boisterous. In Mark 4, turn to Mark 4. Mark 4. Master, verse 38. Care us not, verse 38, when they were in the boat. That we perish? How? Seek expectation. Then he said to them, why are you so fearful? In verse 40. How is it that you've got no faith? Why are you so fearful? Now, that word fearful is the word dehilos. D-E-I-L-O-S. It's used in a very interesting way in scripture. It actually means to bow before. To reverse something. To respect. Negatively. It's also used positive. For example, Hebrews 12:28 uses for the kingdom of God. Say, let us receive the kingdom of God with reverence and godly fear. That is godly fear. Godly reverence. But that means that what were they respecting? Huh? The winds. They were respecting the winds. They were honoring the wind. They were looking at the wind.
So fear is faith reversed. That means they had faith in what the winds could do. That's what faith. Praise God. So what is fear? Fear means I have a report. A report, for example, on something the doctor says. So I respect that report. Not that I ignore the report. Or, no, I begin to respect. So fear is faith in something that makes you respect it. Look at Philippians 4:6. Are you there? Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Notice, it is a, when you are careful, pray. It says be careful for nothing. That's faith. It just taught faith. So, the word careful, notice what it means. The word careful means to be distracted or to be pulled apart. To be concerned or to show care. In 1 Corinthians in chapter 7, Paul used it for the married. He said, those that are married, or the unmarried cares about the things of the Lord. Verse 34 says, the married cares about the things of her husband. You know what that means? Now, every time that word is used, it's an old Greek word that means to be pulled apart. You're pulled apart. To care for something. To care about it. You know, whatever you care about, something you think about. See what the Bible says, what is man that you are mindful of him? So you're mindful of it. So fear, first of all, starts with a temptation. You will see the wing. That's not fear, because you saw it. Fear is when you start to respect it. Still there? You heard a report of the doctors. And then you go, what? Remember years back when doctor spoke with me, my mom was there, my dad was there. And then he, you know, there was a way, you know, there's a way doctors talk, and then, he didn't stop at saying that this sickness was incurable, or the sickness was terminal. He said, the wife of the, let me remember very well, was it the wife? I've forgotten the country now. He's in Southern Africa. He said, that wife of the, he said, he died. You know, can you imagine that kind of thing? I'm just a boy. And then he's talking about a president. He died of the same. He says, so what we do is just manage sometimes 6 months, sometimes, and, you know, and I just looked, when I heard that, you know, I just looked in my mom's eyes and you could see it was full. Yeah, my dad is a man, but not too good. That's enough fear. And I thought about it. 6 months. Wow. Hey, oh. Not suddenly. It's a process. You will die gradually for 6 months. I said, no. I had tears in my eyes. I said, I'm not going to die. Praise God. You know, you can respect the report. Then some of us here just pick a phone call, friend. Don't tell anybody. Just had some horrible report. What was it? So.
Hey!
That's how we heard it. What are you going to do now? I'll run on that side of tests. But then, I don't know how to. What's it? Oh, and you're a very good person. They're signing out for you already. Praise God. Jesus said, why are you so careful? Why do you respect this so much? Hallelujah. Because you can't believe the word and believe the doctor together. I didn't say ignore the doctor. I just said do not respect what he has said above the word of God. The next time in 2001, it all said, well, from the test we carried out and all that. No. I was thinking, she knows about this, my wife also does. And I said, you know, I've have done something already. I said, yeah, I'm going to be healed. The man said, you don't know what I'm talking about. I said, no, you don't know what I'm talking about. Face me here. I'm not afraid anymore. Hallelujah. It's not just a singing way. I'm no longer afraid of fear. Some girls are just singing. Some girls are just singers. I'm no longer. They are words of faith. Hallelujah. You know, you can be saying, I'm no longer. You're cooking somewhere. I'm no longer afraid of fear. Ah! You know it's very possible. I'm no longer together. Ah! Hold on, my I'm no longer. Glory to God. Woo! I'm a believer. I'm not the fearful. I'm a believer! So whatever report you get, say, I am a believer. Woo! Lord. You don't bow to that. You don't submit yourself to that report. Amen. She's a pastor in Lagos now. She came to me, she said, I got this report from the doctor. She's trying to show me the x-rays. I said, look, I don't read x-rays. I preach the gospel. So you know what? I'm going to be in the evening. You choose the surgery or divine healing. Not wrong in surgery. Don't quote me wrongly. I just said choose one. So I said, no. Think about it. No. She came back and said, divine healing. So that's it. So you won't pray? I said, no, you just chose something. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. She didn't go for the surgery. Amen. You can look at the report and say, ah. You know, doctors are funny. I go for medical checkups and then they say, that's your heart. That's how it's funny. See your chest. Yeah, look at it like this. And then they have this folks around them and say, what is that? Your mind goes giggy. That goes giggy. That's the other doctor says. I can see. See what? That's why some folks are so afraid to see doctor's report. You don't have to be afraid. Amen. You've got God's report. And this report is at least 6,000 years old. From generation to generation, he has proved himself faithful. Hallelujah. And when you look at that, you also see other reports. Amen. Believers around you. Amen. God's report. Thanks be unto God. So fear means to respect something you heard or you saw. That's what it means. And then you are mindful of it. That's
worry, anxiety. You're thinking about it. Don't be worried by it. Go to Romans 4 quickly. Abraham. You learning something? Glory to God. Romans 4. Abraham is a story here. Remember, Abraham, just speak a few things and we close. You know, so you've got to know how to handle negative reports. You can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can stop it from building a house, a nest on your head. You can't. I read newspapers every day. I've been reading newspapers since 1984. And I read every day. You just need to read through. You say, wow. You read. And you know, they say oftentimes, and I spoke to a senior journalist, a Christian. He's a Christian journalist, but you know, very senior. He said, it's a fact in the newsroom that bad news is how they sell. You hardly find front airlines where we say, Nigeria's getting better. Things that you wouldn't get things like that. How would we buy Nigeria? And for, some of people like to read stuff like so and so captured. You know, it's just that's just the negative feeling in humanity that is broken down. Don't forget, the very first thing that happened to man when he fell into sin was death. I heard your voice and I was afraid. That's interesting. How would you hear God's voice? You're not hearing it for the first time. Now, why is he afraid? Because he had heard something else. So you see, you've got to understand that fearful thoughts cannot be stopped from coming, but they can be controlled from staying. That's what Isaiah was saying. That no weapon formed against you shall prosper. He's talking about thoughts, fearful thoughts. You shall not be afraid. You shall be free from fear and from oppression. And no weapon formed against you shall prosper. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. The weapon starts in the mindset. It comes to you. Thoughts are thrown at you. Hallelujah. Still out there? The Bible says about Abraham, Romans 4:18, who against hope believed in hope. There cannot be faith if there is no situation. The reason why we have faith is because we have natural situations. So when those natural situations occur, don't lose your sleep. That's why you have faith. The woman with the issue of blood will not need to touch Jesus' clothes if she wasn't sick. There will be no need to talk about faith if there was no situation or sickness. So it's not an issue. The Bible says, for she has suffered many things of many doctors. Can you imagine the things she must have heard from those doctors? She must have heard those reports so strong that, you know, the Bible says she grew worse. Sometimes what makes people grow worse in sickness are the things they're told. She grew worse. Suffered many things of many physicians. Look at Abraham, Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4 is Abraham. Against hope, he believed in hope. Now, look at that. That's interesting. Let me have two folks come. There you go. You come. Look at what it means. Romans 4, against hope, believe in hope. This is one hope. There's another hope. Now, you know, the hope is the same word. An expectation, another expectation, but they are not the same, but they are both expectations. In other words, if there was a picture of hope as a word, you're going to have Siamese twins, hope. That means they're going to walk the same way. Against hope, believe. So one hope wants you to believe. The other wants you to believe. So if I take this one, I'm against him. If I take this one, I'm against him. Now this is what the doctor said. And this is what God says. So, against him. That means every report paints hope and expectation. Well, this is what we found in your bloodstreams. Therefore, you get it? That means an expectation is well. You will have to use drugs for the rest of your life. You'll have to be a vegetable, depending on which one. And then you will have to be in the hospital for the next 6 months. You know, that's an expectation. Then you hear, you come to service, the song is singing, and he says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. You see, that's hope. So against hope, you believe in hope. They walk the same way. Both fear and faith are looking for your attention, as it were. Thank you. So, against hope, believe in hope. Now, what's the hope Abraham had? He had two things to contend with. He had his own body that was dead. Sarah's womb was also what? Now, let me ask you. Sarah's womb is dead. His body is there. You know what that means? That means his body couldn't have kids. Now, that means there was an expectation. That means from what we have in this physical body, this is what should happen. From what we have. This is what should happen. From what we have. This is what should happen. Against hope, believe in hope. Against hope, believe in hope. This is what we have. So, he had the hope. What's the hope? Sarah's womb dead. His body dead. He had the hope. The father of many nations have I made you. So, against hope, believe in hope. You will always have to make a choice when it comes to the use of faith. You will always have to make a choice. Amen. Against hope, believe in hope. That's not sometimes just about sickness and disease. It's also about life situations. Sometimes it's your circumstance and situation. A brother told me the story of how the wife will always get up and sing a song every morning. Great is your faithfulness. That when he's complaining, the wife is always thanking God. And he's wondering. We both finished from Federal Polytechnic. We've been married for how many years? And look at where we are. The wife was, great is your faithfulness. He's wondering. Funny enough, he's a pastor. He's wondering, faithful? Faithful? Yeah. And the wife's always thanking God and giving him praise. Yeah, thank God that we are blessed. The lions are falling onto us. Good to have women like that. Because if it's the flip side, it's always very terrible. Sometimes it's good to have a man who is just like, you know, guys, and a woman who is strong and faithful. It's the other way around. My God. Because, you know, the Bible adds nagging to women in the Bible. Oh, come on, you didn't get that. You know. Just pray for, I'll pray for you. Praise God. He goes. I don't know, and all that, and all that. She comes home. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He said, so-and-so friend of mine who went to school together said that she came and do a walking holiday in Ireland. Is he going to give you money? No, that's the next thing on his head. He says, oh, well, we thank God. We give him praise and all that. And he goes, you know, some guys are just grumblers. It's a calling. He says, what's wrong? Nothing. It's just, that's the way I am. Not going. Oh, it's just like that. And the woman, she goes, well. And then she starts walking out to us. I've shared this with you before. And she's walking out to us. And then she's walking all the day. She's just, and then someone just says, I like you. This was 2001 or so. 2002. I like you so much. The way you treat me and all that. Oh, bless God. And I'm doing something right now. The woman actually was meant to die. She's terminal. The six is going to die. She said, I'm just writing your name. I'll inform you in time. And I'm giving you 6 million euros. And then the funny thing is, she gets home and tells herself, praise the Lord! Hmm?
That's not faith. Faith doesn't rejoice when you see it. Faith rejoices before you do. She's the one in faith, not you. But it's good, you're just a beneficiary. Fine. She didn't get it that day. She got it years down the line. Praise God. She had been rejoicing with that miracle for years. Do you know that if she had gotten a job, it's not likely she would have saved 6 million euros. You know, except she got the other a lot. Well, you decide to interpret that your own way. Amen. It's not likely you will save up 6 million euros working as a chief consultant somewhere. 6 million euros back then when that was over a billion. Amen. They are now in, I think, in Chicago. The man has enjoyed it. Used the funds to start a ministry there. So who is the helper? Don't you get that, man? Amen. Against hope? You know, sometimes you look at your furniture in your house, you know, this is hopeless. You know, you have some furniture, you can't even rest on it. It looks more like the kind of place that Jacob slept on, he got a dream. But I say, praise God! Hallelujah! The habitation of the righteous will flourish. It was a, which habitation? Praise God. Calling the things that be as though they were. That means when you're going to be saying them, nobody will see them when you say them. But it will come to pass. Hallelujah. Glory to God! Against hope, what you can see. Believe in hope, what you cannot see. Praise God. You still there? So, you gotta, that's the spirit of faith. Spirit of faith declares the word. Spirit of faith. Notice, God's word is past tense. Yet you can't see anything. Yet it's past tense. God says, I have blessed you. And you look around and say, where? I'm born to win. Where? So, and that's important. I want to say this in closing. You see, sometimes, many of us, we, just like some folks, they just like shopping for revs. Revs. They like hearing new things. And I'm thinking, the one you've heard, have you practiced the ones you've heard? You have eaten here. And they go, have you acted on the word? Donna! Sister, I want to, they're trying to investigate. I want to find out. You talking to me. I want to also find out. I know you didn't teach it, but can you, excuse me? Go act on that one first. Praise God. Go act on that one first. Hallelujah. Act on the word. Against hope, believe in hope. How would I know if I'm in faith? I'll close with this. How would I know if I'm in faith? Number one, your words. Many times you will know what you're feeding on or what you're believing in your unguarded moments. You know, everybody can confess the word in service. Like we say, I'm no longer going to be here. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, glory. I'm blessed. But nobody needs your confession in the service. It's when you're outside the service. What the things that you say? I don't say that. I'm fine now. Oh, I'm all very foul. Hallelujah. I had to tell some folks years back, I said, if you don't know what to use the word far for, just say far above all principles and far mind. If you don't know how to use the word far, say far above whatever we ask or imagine. You get it? If the, is far is the problem you have. Amen. You know, nobody will beat you for speaking the word. But you win for speaking the word. If Jesus could quote the word, he is the word. And he said it is written. How much more you and I? We're born of the word too.
look at what you're saying. I know I'm in faith when I'm speaking. Because whatever dominates your thoughts comes out in your words. Some of us speak right words when we have what people around us. Oh, glory to God. Yeah, you. The way you get around people that you're free with, you're just losing up. You're losing up. Look around. There's no sane Christian here. We have three guys here. It's my office. Well, let's let down the air, man. Let's talk. Let's be real, man. Let's be real. Well, if you're real, you will die in reality. Get real in the word. Amen. Watch what you say. I know if I'm in faith by what I say. Secondly, come on, quickly. If you're in faith, you give glory to God. 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 People in faith never grumble. They never moan. They give glory to God. You don't give glory to God for the situation. You give glory to God because the word is working. Hallelujah. The word is working. Number three, you rejoice. You rejoice. Hallelujah. Someone say rejoice. You know, rejoice is an active word. I will rejoice. Were you forced to say it? The way some people say, I rejoice. It's like they're under persecution. I rejoice. You're actually lying. If you're rejoicing, there's a laugh. Amen. If you're rejoicing, there is an active word. All right. There's a... I'm so joyful. So joyful. And the Bible says it's a wicked man that hardened his face. You rejoice. Hallelujah. That means Abraham, when he heard those words, every time we see Abraham say, Abraham, said no, Abraham. He didn't say, don't call me that. I am Abraham. He rejoiced. He said, Abraham said, no, Abraham giving thanks to God. I'm Abraham to the glory of God. They say, you know, when you start getting old, things start in your mind. Your mind is going bonkers. It's got no child. It says, Abraham. Abraham said, Abraham to the glory of God. So I heard, you know, you guys are having problems in your family, you know, finances. Say, no, we are blessed to the glory of God. So I say, if you don't express yourself, how will people help you? Do you think people help when you tell them the situation? Are you not wise enough to know that that doesn't happen? People will hear your story and say, wow, if you had come last week Thursday, have you heard that before? And they'll just load their phone and talk to people about what you just said. Did you hear that? It's having issues, though. Real issues. Don't tell anybody I told you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Say, I'm Abraham. I am blessed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Doors are opening up. Amen. One time I said, I will give a millionaire to the gospel. So look at me. He looked at me. He said, watch me. Praise God. I've done millions already. Hallelujah. Say, I will. Say, consider your present circumstance. Look at it very well. But if you see it, Satan will get more angry. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. That's why it's called a miracle. It's not a procedure. Hallelujah. We're getting some. Now quickly. Healing is our Father's character. And we are His children. That means healing belongs to us. Amen. Anything your dad does and he is yours. You know that? If your dad is a kind man, that means you have kindness belongs to you. Praise God. Belongs to you. Whatever your dad owns is yours. That's why Paul says, say when someone says, well, that means belongs to idols, they don't mind them. They just see them. Say the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The kind of joke someone shared, I'll just close here. Now, I discovered many people selling bread now, dressing nice. And, you know, someone said something that I like, you know. You know, they're just looking so good now and then looking for anybody taking pictures, you know. So if you bring out your phone, you say, I'm here, just take me. You know? But that's not the point. Someone said, you know, say there's a joke on you guys, you deliverance ministers. I said, what's the joke? He said, you notice the lady's name is Orisha. I said, wow. Something Orisha, something like that. No change of name. Some guys have changed their names. That's why when the blessing came. Stand to your feet and give God praise. Someone thank you. Give God praise. Woo! Glory to God. You got a spirit of faith. You got a spirit of faith. You know, if I'm not in fear, I would dare the situation. I double dare you, devil. Go away. Hallelujah. So when there's sickness, I dare you, sickness. I dare you. I'm healed. Hallelujah. I'm blessed. Glory to God. I'm favored to God. Glory to God. When you speak like that, circumstances arrange themselves on your body. So about the spirit of faith. The spirit of faith is never silent. Amen. Amen. Because anytime the devil says something and you are silent, you have accepted it by default. Silence is never faith. Silence is to accept it by default. Praise God. Raise your voice. Make sure your voice is louder than that of the enemy. Amen. Praise God. You look at your account and you say, I'm a millionaire. Hallelujah. You look at the fact that you lost your job and say, I am a millionaire. I give to the gospel in billions. Glory to God. Amen. You look at your body and say, I'm healed. And I'm staying on this earth for at least 80 years. You know, you are speaking out. Glory to God. That's the spirit of faith. Put your hands, give God praise and thank you. Father, we honor you.